Fellowship Books, we are on page number 19, continuing to look at the doctrine of angelology. Do angels exist? Who are they? What do they do? Boy, you can go to a Christian bookstore and get all kinds of books all about angels and find all kinds of theories and all kinds of ideas about angels. And can I just be honest with you, the majority of those are hogwash, because they're written just to sell books, and they're written with information. All major religions believe in spiritual supernatural beings, and so there is a wealth of source information other than the Bible about angels or those spiritual beings. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, get our information from the Word of God. And so if it lines up with the Bible, we'll accept it. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not necessarily that we just throw it out, but we're skeptical, all right? Because sometimes people say things that don't contradict the Bible, but don't line up with the Bible. And so you take that with a grain of salt. When it contradicts the Bible, there is no salt to be had, all right? You just throw it out. But sometimes people come up with ideas and you look at it. So when it comes to this thing of angels, what does the Bible teach about it? Well, we started looking at it last week, and we saw that there are two classifications of angels, all right? The angels have been divided, and we'll talk about why they have been divided, but that original creation of God, they were the holy angels, and that's what we began looking at here at page number 19. They are called holy angels, and I believe I gave you the references four times in the Bible: Matthew 25, 31, Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, Luke chapter 9 and verse 36, and Revelation 14 and verse 10. Four times they're called holy angels. And that's instructional, because there is a second group, which is not what we put in our outline, but we could call them hellish angels, because there are now unclean spirits. There are angels that left their first estate, and they are roaming around the earth right now. And sometimes they imitate angels, all right? Paul said in Galatians, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. It says in Corinthians that some of Satan's ministers disguise themselves as angels of light. And so that's why Paul told us in 1 Timothy to try the spirits whether they have God, because evil does not always appear as evil. All right? And there are fallen angels that are going to imitate good angels to try to deceive people into doing things. And so if somebody has a conjecture of what a good angel looks like, well, that evil angel is going to try to imitate that to appear to be good. And so biblical information about angels is going to be instructional and helpful. And especially there's one area we're going to look at this morning that will be very, very helpful for you if you keep it in mind. So the holy angels, their designation in Job 38, we saw when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That was some beings that were in existence before Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. All right, these holy angels were created by God 6 days before God created man. Now I want you to get this, because this is important. The angels were created before God divided the light from the darkness, before God divided the land from the seas, before God had dry land appear and the plants grow and animal life, and on the sixth day he made man. Before he did any of that, he had already made the angels. All right, because the Bible told us in Job 38 that when he created in Genesis chapter 1, the angels were shouting for joy. The sons of God, as they were designated at that time, were shouting for joy. So angels predate humanity. They are a separate creation from mankind. Now here's the reason I'm emphasizing that. There is this silly teaching out there, whatever you want to call it, that when we die, we become angels. And that is not biblical by any stretch of the imagination. Angels are a separate designation, a separate creation. We do not become angels. We do not go up to heaven and they hand us a harp and we get a halo and a little set of wings and we buzz around heaven for the rest of eternity. That's not how that works, all right? When we get to heaven, we get as redeemed, blood-bought, saved sinners. There's a song, I haven't heard it in years. I'll sit back in my office when I'm playing with my guitar sometimes and sing it. But there's a song that says, "It's a song holy angels cannot sing." All right, angels know nothing about salvation. They know nothing about grace. They know nothing about faith. They have not had to experience that because they are not human. They are a separate designation. They were the holy angels of God, created in eternity past to give him praise and to give him glory. And so that's the angels. That's their designation. Their description, letter B, and that's where we got into some good stuff last year. And there came two angels to Sodom. And when they came, the people of Sodom said to Lot, "Where are the men that came into us?" In the Bible, every time you find angels, they appear as men. All right? They never appear as women. The question was asked, are there women angels? If there are, God just didn't see fit to tell us about it. All right? Because every time you see an angel in the Bible, it's a male. The angel that appeared to Manoah and his wife to announce the birth of Samson. The angel that appeared to Zacharias, Gabriel, to announce the birth of John the Baptist. The angel that appeared to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus himself. All these angels that appear, those that appeared to Hagar back in Genesis 16, they were always adult males, all right? And they did not have wings. The cherubim and the seraphim, which are a higher classification of angels, and not even classified as angels, but the higher ones, they do have wings, all right? You read about them in the book of Ezekiel, all right? Those that are buzzing around in heaven and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the everyday angels. The everyday angels, when they appear on earth, people look at them and think they're just like we are. We saw the verse in Hebrews. It says that some of us have entertained angels unawares. All right, you may have bumped into an angel somewhere along the line. Now, no, that's not your wife. All right. That very romantic fellow says, "Yes, I married one." Not too many women say that they married one, but sometimes men will say they married one. But we've entertained angels unaware. We have done business with them or they have appeared. And we'll talk about why in just a moment, but they can be around, all right? Many have entertained angels unaware. And so if you saw them, and they had big glowing faces and halos over their head and harps in their hands and big wings on their back, you would have said, that's not the neighbor from down the street, all right? That guy is somewhere else. So angels, when they do appear as human beings, and biblically always appeared as men. So that was their description. Then we get to letter C, and that's where we're at this morning, I believe, and that is their duties. What are angels for? Why did God make them? Well, we'll not talk about their heavenly purpose. I didn't kind of focus on that, but their earthly purpose. All right, their heavenly purpose was to give glory to God. The angels, the sons of God, the sons of God shouted for joy. They were there to give God the praise. They were, as it were, a heavenly choir that sang praises to God, and that's what God made them for. But their role now, what is their responsibility? Well, Matthew chapter 18, look there if you would, Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 10. And here again, we are given some information, but not a lot of information. And so we need to be careful. When God gives us a little bit of information, take it as a little bit. And don't overblow it. But when we're given lots of information, then give it lots of attention. Again, many times false teachings are based on little information. All right, in the book of Revelation, it says that there were seven thunders that sounded their voices, and that's all the Bible tells us. And so the cults take those seven thunders and tell you what they are and describe them in great detail. And you can't take something that God just happens to mention to whet your appetite to learn the Bible more and then make a major teaching out of it. You can't do that, and that's what they do in those regards. But here in Matthew chapter 18, look if you would at verse number 10. Jesus said this about the little children. He said in verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. And he's talking about children when he says it. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels, T-H-E-I-R, all right, possessive, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So from this verse, we get the idea that at least these little children have what we call a guardian angel. All right, because Jesus said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And so there's the possibility. There is something said that in heaven we have representation. Now, he said that about little children. Does that mean you outgrow your guardian angel? Maybe you get to a certain age and that angel says, I've done enough for that person. I'm retiring. That's it. We don't know how that works out because the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail in there. But it does tell us about the children that they are there as guardians. Guardians for what? Well, for protection. Guardians to watch over them, as it were. And I don't know what all is involved in that. But Jesus did say that they have representation in heaven. They have someone that always beholds the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Look back at Psalm 91, and we'll kind of see this maybe amplified a little bit. Psalm 91, and this is a prophecy that is fulfilled in the Gospels in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we take a promise that's given toward children, apply them to ourselves? Maybe. Maybe so, maybe not. Some of you may wear your guardian angel out. They might be like Clarence, all right, taking care of Jimmy Stewart, and it's a wonderful life, and got his hands full with him, trying to earn his wings. Now, again, that's Hollywood. That's a fun movie, a clean movie, but other than that, but Psalm 91, look at Psalm 91, verse number 11. Here the psalmist wrote this. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. We see in those two verses the principle of angels or an angel taking care of protecting an individual. Again, I don't know how all this works. You don't need to put a little angel on the hood of your car hoping that's going to protect you on the highway. But here's the idea that angels are given for protection. All right, special messengers of God, as it were. That verse, of course, was quoted by the devil in the New Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ. During his time of temptation, all right, when the devil tempted him three times, he said, jump off the pinnacle of this temple, because God has said he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll minister to thee. So the devil tried to use that verse to tempt the Lord Jesus. But the psalmist did write that the angels were there as far as the Lord was concerned. Now, that's what David's writing about, we know that, but when he wrote it, it was just a general application. Look at one more verse about this, Hebrews, all the way at the end, the other end of our Bible. Hebrews chapter 1. Again, sometimes this is why it is fun to study the Bible, to read it completely and thoroughly, and to be able to cross-reference verses one with another and get a complete picture of things. Again, the Bible never contradicts itself, but the Bible will add information from place to place and from one scripture to another. Our job is to put the right scriptures together. And that is, if you like a jigsaw puzzle, or if you like a crossword puzzle and getting the letters in the right order and the things like that, the Bible is kind of fun, if I can say it that way, in that way, by getting the verses and putting them in their proper context. So here in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, look down at verse number 13. Here the writer of Hebrews says in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Here he's arguing the deity of Christ. The writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, is arguing for the deity of Christ. And he says, did he say, is Christ just an angel? All right, in the Old Testament, he appeared as the angel of the Lord. But then when he came and in the New Testament, he's not an angel. And so Paul is arguing that in verse 13. And in verse 14, he says, are they, speaking of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits? All right, ministering spirits. That's what angels are. They're ministering spirits. What is a minister? Someone who takes care of someone else. We use the word administer, someone who takes care of others. All right, so are not they ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister to who? To them who shall be heirs of salvation. I don't want to be too dogmatic. He takes care of children. We know that for sure. They take care of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they take care of the saved, the redeemed. All right? They minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are that heir. You're going to inherit. And so the guardian angels are your protective service. All right, there's a great protective service to have. And so they minister to the saints. Does that mean that unbelievers do not have guardian angels? All right, that's a good question. I'm not going to try to give you the answer to that, but I know it says the little children have them up to the age of accountability. The Lord had that when he went through his suffering on the temptation. And here they are for the saints of God. They minister to the saints of God. Do they minister to the unholy? Are they there to protect the unrighteous? Well, the Bible seems to be silent in that area, so we'll stay silent when the Bible stays silent. But we can, you and I that are saved, we can say one of the benefits of our salvation is that God watches over us. And we have ministering spirits that take care of us. And they are good spirits. They are the holy angels. So one of their responsibilities as guardians is to watch over the heirs of salvation. Number two in their duties, and we could have a long list here, but just simplifying. Number two, they are messengers. They are messengers. The book of Acts chapter 10. And this is just one. Think of what we've already said. The two angels that were sent to Lot in Sodom. What was their purpose for going? To warn him that God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. To let him know he needed to pack his things up and get out of town as quick as he could. They were messengers. That's what their assignment was, to come. Then they went and told Abraham, shall we hide from Abraham the thing we're about to do? And they told Abraham, and Abraham said, if there's 10 righteous there, he got them down to 10, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare the city? They were messengers that came to tell Abraham what was going on. That is their purpose. That was what they did in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And Saul, oops, that's chapter 9. Then there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So the Bible's giving us that information to let us know this is not a Jew. This is a Gentile. All right, he is a Roman centurion. He is Italian by birth. He's the head of an Italian regiment, as it were, or of a group of 100 men, a centurion. They were called the Italian band of men. And the Bible says in verse 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, there's the message. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he gives him the information and says that he will tell thee what you must do. So the angel was sent to Cornelius as in response to his godly living and praying, God sent a messenger, an angel, to tell him, get Simon Peter. He'll tell you the words whereby you and all your household may be saved. So the angels were used as messengers. I referred to it already, Manoah and his wife who had Samson. It was an angel that was sent by God to tell Manoah and his wife that they were going to have a child. It was an angel sent to Zacharias to let him and Elizabeth to know they were going to have a child. It was an angel sent to Mary to let them know they were going to have a child. You get to the book of Revelation, and the word angel appears more times in Revelation than any other book in the Bible. And the role of angels in the last days is tremendous. God has taken the church out by way of the rapture. He's pouring his wrath out on the earth, and mankind are running for fear and praying that their flight be not in the winter, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, all that stuff. And so God goes to working through angels. In fact, one of them even takes a banner through heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel to the inhabitants of the earth. Angels hold back the four winds. They sound the trumpets. They do all kinds of work. Now, here's something that I think is very important to notice in this. God used angels as messengers in the Old Testament. God used angels as messengers in the book of Acts to Cornelius before a Bible was ever written. God uses angels in the book of Revelation in the end times when the church is gone. But you know what you'll find an absence of? Angels in the church age. And this goes to what we're studying on Wednesday nights with Rightly Dividing. When you look at the book of Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Philemon, those 13 books that are for the church age, written to churches right now, you know what you'll find? Out of all the mention of angels all throughout the Bible, the word angel, singular like that, only appears three times in Paul's 13 epistles. One of those times I've referred to, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. An angel is spoken of in a negative sense in that light. One of the other three times is in 2 Corinthians, when he says that that Satan's ministers appear as an angel of light, a negative context. So what we need to do right now is realize that they are messengers and they are guardians, but they are not something to be focused on. They are not something to be counted on. You do not get your messages from angels today. You and I get our messages from the Bible. Before there was a Bible, there were no messengers. The angels gave messages. After the church is removed and the church is gone and the end times come, angels play a prominent role. Right now, they're not playing a prominent role. And so when you hear angels being overemphasized, be careful. Because that's not what they're there for right now. They are in a backseat capacity. They are in a reserved position. It's not that they don't exist. They obviously are out there. But they're not in the front seat. They're not in the driver's seat. Right now, you and I go by the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's in us. When the church is taken out of the rapture and the Holy Ghost departs from the earth, then the angels start ministering and working full time again and very heavily in the book of Revelation. So it's important to remember those duties of the angels and their role, especially right now, in a very limited capacity. When someone says, I saw an angel, they probably had too much pizza last night. All right, probably something they ate or something like that, because that's just not the way things work in our day right now. God does not send messages through angels. He sends his messages through the Bible and through the Word of God. So that when you're reading your Bible, God speaks to you that way. Not by sending a 7'6" angel to stand at the foot of your bed, glowing in the middle of the dark like Oral Roberts claimed he saw many, many years ago. All right, that's not how God's working. So their designation, their description, and their duties, that's all about the holy angels. Now you've got it all down. You know all about the holy angels. Everything there is to know. All right, then secondly, and we put this as the fallen angels. And if I was going to preach a sermon now, I think I'd change that second one to the hellish angels, just to have it start with the same letter H as the holy angels. But there are some angels that were originally created as sons of God that shouted for joy in the book of Job that have fallen from heaven. And the Bible tells us why they fell. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. And this in itself is one very detailed Bible study and a lot of information surrounding it. But look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ came. And he writes about something that has already happened, all right? It's a past tense thing. And I believe that it goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Just like when God created those angels to sing glory, to sing praise to him, something happened, and here's what happened in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? All right, here's someone that fell from heaven. Who is it? You're looking at your Bible. How art thou fallen from heaven? Who is it? Lucifer. Is that what your Bible says? Are y'all looking at it? Does it say that? Okay, if it says that, then I know you've got the right Bible. Because only the King James Bible says Lucifer right there. All right, that's the only time that name appears in the Bible, by the way. It's one time in all the Bible, and it's only in a King James Bible. Because the other ones, the NIV changes it to morning star. How art thou fallen from heaven, morning star? Now, what's the problem with that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible, verse number 16. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, all right, got the person down, you know who it is. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I, who is that? Jesus. I am the root and the offspring of David. The bright and what? Morning star. Who's the morning star according to Revelation? Jesus. According to the New International Version, who's the morning star in Isaiah chapter 14? The devil. People say, well, I read this Bible because it's easier to understand. It's messed up. It's wrong. It's blasphemous. Jesus Christ is the morning star. That one that fell from heaven way in the past that Isaiah is talking about is not the morning star. Let's switch to the English Standard Version. That's the NIV was real popular in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Then they had to revamp it and change it. Then they changed it again. They're in their fifth edition, I think, now of changing it. Making it, you know, correcting things, although that one still stands. But now the English Standard Version is the popular conservative Bible. All right, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, they don't say Lucifer, and they don't say morning star. They say, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star? O day star. Well, look at 2 Peter. This is my reference. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Sorry to take your time with this, but it's something that's necessary. It's not just a matter of being easier to be understood. The devil is behind these new Bible translations in corrupting them. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. And it's just so sad how many good people, good Bible, good saved people have been deceived by the devil into using these other Bibles, and most of them don't know that these changes have been made. And that's even sadder. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about Okay, I'm in 1 Peter. I wondered what my problem was. All right, we're talking about the ESV changing that Lucifer to day star. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." That's talking about the second coming of Christ. Till the day dawn and the day star, that's Jesus, arise in your hearts. And so both of these most popular modern Bibles take Lucifer out and put Jesus in Isaiah chapter 14, if you're going to use that title for him. And let me say this, by the way, they leave those titles in 2 Peter and Revelation, and so the cross-reference is there. In Isaiah 14, they read Morning Star. In Revelation, they read Morning Star. So if you're doing your Bible study and you're matching those two references, you're going to say that in Isaiah 14, it's Jesus that fell from heaven. And if you're using an ESV, it's the day star that fell from heaven, because they use the same words both times. But our Bible correctly tells us it was Lucifer that fell from heaven. And it is the morning star and the day star that's going to dawn in our hearts one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so back to our outline of the fallen angels. The angels of Satan. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" There was a day in, we would say, not eternity past, but since creation, a day where the devil was expelled from heaven. He fell from heaven. Look at Luke chapter 10. We'll have to close with this morning, but look at Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Again, what a wonderful thing how our Bible goes together. Familiarity with the Bible is the best thing you can have as a Christian. Not a concentrated knowledge of certain spots, though that's not bad, but a general knowledge of the Bible is very important. That's why we always emphasize reading your Bible through, reading all of it, because then you'll find Isaiah matching Revelation. Then you'll find Luke matching Genesis, because you'll start reading, and it doesn't happen the first time you read it through it. So somebody reads their Bible through a first time, "Well, I've read my Bible through, I'm done." You're not going to get it by reading it one time through. You read it over and over and over your whole lifetime. And as you do, you get so familiar with it that when you're reading something, you say, "Wait a minute, I read something like that back here over in this place or that section," and you start cross-referencing it, and it just comes to life. And here in Luke chapter 10, look at what happens in verse 17. Jesus had sent 70 disciples out to work great miracles and wonders in the towns of Israel. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." All right, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples about something that happened, that he saw when Satan was cast out. He fell from heaven. And so there are angels that are followers of Satan that one time were in heaven, and when he was cast out, and I think you have the reference there underneath it, Revelation 12:4, and we'll have to pick up with that next week. But when Satan fell, he did not go alone. You know, we always talk about that today. When somebody leaves church, they don't leave by themselves. They get on the phone and call as many people as they can. When somebody backslides, they don't just get out. They drag as many people as they can. When the devil was kicked out of heaven, he got as many as he could to go with him. And we'll talk about how that happened next week. Not that it happened next week, but next week we'll talk about how it happened. All right? All right, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the precious word of God and how wonderful it is and how alive, God, how interesting it is. And so I pray you'd make us readers and doers of your word. Bless our morning service and those that come to join us. In Jesus' name, amen.